I'll turn there myself. And we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start at verse number 1. Let me show you I got the right over here. There we are. And read down to verse number 9. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, he ascendeth up on high. There we go. I'm sitting there going, this does not look right. I'm in four. Give me just 1 second here. Crown fast. Philippians. There we go. Philippians. I'm sitting thinking, this is not right. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. There we go. That's a good scripture, though. And I kept thinking, wow, this does not look like my verses. All right, Philippians chapter 4, and this is the famous part of Scripture. This should look a little more familiar. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It's interesting, you move in verse number 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then you get to verse 9, it says, the God of peace shall be with you. Let's have a word of prayer and get into the lesson for today. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless in this time that we have. Father, we ask that your name is magnified. Help us to be a people who are magnified or focused on you, on what you're doing, on your plans, and help us to line up with your plans, Father. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to go through this chapter really quick and work my way through it, and then I'm going to stop at a section of it and focus on part of it. But in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. We're talking about the same mind in the Lord here. And we're heading somewhere. The book of Ephesians, if you study this out, you're going to find out the book of Ephesians is talking, there was a contention. And I say book of Ephesians, book of Philippians. I got Ephesians stuck on my mind. The book of Philippians, there was contention in the church. And they were writing the book of Philippians to deal with the contention that people are having with each other and how to deal with each other. So you find this, he's talking about some people, and he's talking about how do you get along with each other. In verse 2, he names two people, and he asks them to do this, be of the same mind in the Lord. So it's interesting, it says be of the same mind in the Lord. Philippians 2:5 earlier in this book, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He said, look, if you're not getting along, you be of the same mind that Christ had. Humility. Humble yourself. Well, they did me wrong. Okay, They did you wrong. By the way, if you're all locked up in the house together, and teens, I'm talking to you, if you're locked up with your brothers and sisters, or even locked up with your parents, they did me wrong. This isn't fair. If they keep treating me this way, if I let them treat me this way, it'll continue to happen. That's not humility. Pride is when it becomes about you. I've done the illustration here before, and you've seen it before when we talk about the two extremes of pride. And I take on one side over there, and I better not do it today. You want to do it? Nah, I better not. On one side there, I'll have the super good-looking, muscly, wonderful, awesome guy. Zach's volunteering. All right, and he looks in the mirror and he says, "Man, am I wonderful." Everybody's so lucky they get to look at me, all right? And look at all these guys grinning. I'm not talking about you guys, you know. We say that's pride. That's pride, and rightly so. Then we see this guy over here. You know, "Oh, nobody likes me, and everybody beats me." Your daughter's pointing at you when I said that, Jeff. And I just couldn't help but take a moment and point it out. I was like, "Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me." And she's like, "That's my dad. That's my dad." And even my daughter doesn't. Far from the tree. So we go. We look at her and we say, "This person," and we say, "Oh, life is hard, and I don't even want to. I that's not even worth living. I shouldn't be breathing air on this earth. I'm so unworthy." And we say, "Oh, there's humility," but that's not what God says. Pride is when you're thinking about yourself. Both of these people are completely focused on themselves, whether negatively or positively. Humility is when you're so focused on God that you're not the issue anymore. The God becomes the issue. So as you're looking up to God and he says, "Turn left," you're not considering yourself. You're not part of the equation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that you're dead to yourself. And God's the only thing that matters. And so you have the two extremes of pride. And he says this. He said, "Jesus Christ came to earth in humility." All right. Well, these people treat me wrong. Okay? This isn't about you. By the way, almost every time I preach this, God's going to test me as a pastor. If you say, "Lord, help me to be humble," you know, someone come by and push that flesh button. "You know what I think of you?" Well, if you knew me, you'd think a lot worse. It's not, but it's not about, do I just pastor people that like me? No. No. Don't shake your head, yes. I pastor who God wants me to pastor. I help who God tells me to help. I don't get to pick which sins are okay and which ones aren't. I've heard pastors before tell me. And I don't use that term all the time. I'm not, people like to use that. "I know pastors that don't pray. I know pastors that don't." But I've heard pastors tell me. They said, "Well, I don't deal with these kind of people." I'm like, "Well, I don't have... God didn't give me permission to tell him who I'm going to deal with, who I'm not deal with. It's God who tells me what to do." So humility is when it's not about you. Okay, they're treating me wrong. Okay, that's pride. But you know, I understand how hard it is for me. It's easy for me to not care about you because I don't feel it. Well, you say, "Well, pastor, that's rude." No, I'm just telling you, if you were dead, you wouldn't feel it. It'd be easier for you not to care about you. This idea that you have to defend your rights, it's not about you anymore. And that these people are fussing and fighting. And he says, "Have the same mind that Christ had." Jesus was very clear when he was going to the cross. He could have called the 10 legions of angels to set him free. I mean, there was no, he could have stopped all of it. He humbled himself. He didn't make it about himself. Then it says, verse 3, and "I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." So he's asking them, help the people who are laboring. And the next verse is very interesting. After he says, help the people who are laboring in the work of God, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. I'm going to spend a little extra time on that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. People say, I want joy and I want happiness. Two different words. And in fact, they're almost opposite words. Happiness comes from happenings. What happens? That is circumstantial. So if I walk by and you give me, oh, this is, I guess, is this my line still, Dave? Hey, wake up in the sound booth, buddy. Is this my line still or do I kind of move? Yeah. You can't see? How about now? Am I on screen? Hi, Mom. Is it working? All right. So if I walk by and Zach hands me a $100 bill and says, this is for you, man, I want to be a blessing. I'm happy. You know what I mean? I'm 100 times happier than I was a minute ago. You with me? But that's because of the happenings. The problem with happiness is it goes both ways. If I walk back by and Zach steals $100 from me, I'm $100 poorer, I am upset the same amount. It's a matter of circumstance, what happens to you. By the way, Christians spend a lot of their time dealing with what happens to them. They let life happen to them, and they don't happen to life. And so he says this, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The word rejoice comes from the word joy. And I'm going to turn over this paper here. It comes from the word joy, and that's one of the fruits of the spirits. And you'll find to rejoice. And I'm going to set you ahead a little bit. See, I don't want to skip ahead. I'm going to teach you about rejoicing for a little bit. But I'll give you this as we start learning about rejoicing. To rejoice, joy is based on that which is eternal. So it doesn't change. Jesus said, "Rejoice not that the demons were subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life." Joy is based on what's happening in eternity, the things that are from heaven, the things that are eternal. It's not on the carnal happenings. That's happiness. So when you rejoice, you're refocusing on that which is eternal. So you lost your joy? Yeah. Refocus on that which is eternal. Rejoice. In fact, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So that implies that you can lose your joy. And you have to refocus. Rejoicing is getting joy, refocusing on that which is eternal. Let me give you a little bit about rejoicing. I'm going to give you some verses. You got your Bibles? You guys ready to look at your Bibles? We'll give you some verses here. You stay up with me. Give you some things you can rejoice over. Here's an interesting one. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Remember, happiness is about happenings, okay? It's based on what's happening to you or to someone you care about, which basically is still about you, okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. It says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." That's strange, isn't it? You're rejoicing in your persecutions. That's not happiness. You're not happy being persecuted, but you can be joyful in persecutions. There's a difference. Because it says, "Great is your reward." You're supposed to be exceeding glad because you're rejoicing because you realize this. I have eternal rewards. This is where how I get paid in heaven. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 24. Very interesting verse here. Verse 24 says this, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." So he says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you." Again, are you suffering? He says, rejoice. So it's not happenings. It's not happiness. And then I'll read you one more, and I'll just read it to you. In 1 Peter 4:13, "But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So it says, rejoice that you're partakers in Christ's sufferings. Isn't that strange? People think, I want joy. I want joy. Okay. Well, you want joy and more joy? You want to rejoy? Yeah. Suffer with Christ. That's not what I meant. I meant, you know, I want to wake up and have my favorite strawberry Pop-Tarts for breakfast. Do they even have Pop-Tarts anymore? Who eats Pop-Tarts? Anybody eats Pop-Tarts? Got a couple Pop-Tart people in here. That's awesome. And so you can have happiness. rejoice over persecution because of the reward. Next. Here's an illustration for you in Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Seems like a strange. There's other things to rejoice for than just suffering. But I'm teaching you something. When your eyes are on the eternal, things that seem bad here on earth. If I knew, if I knew that Mr. White was taking a trip to the Middle East, and they captured him, and they were going to beat him, and he was going to suffer for Christ, I would do everything I could to save him. I'd give $10-$15 or something in offering. I mean, we do, as a church, we do everything we could to free him so he doesn't suffer for Christ. Stay with me. And God says, no, rejoice that you were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. What an odd way of thinking. So different than the world teaches us. And by the way, we as Christians, we read this and we're like, you know, one of the oxymorons we have as Christians, it's kind of funny. We say, pray for me. What? Well, I've got this enemy at work. Pray that God does something and stops him and shows himself mighty. And I say, wait a minute. God says, love your enemies. How can you love your enemies if you ain't got none? How do you pray for them which despitefully use you if nobody despitefully uses you because you prayed them away? You prayed the curse of God and lightning zapped them and they're dead and you have nobody who speaks all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, and you have no reason to rejoice and be exceedingly glad because you've figured out a way to pray down lightning and they're gone. And the only reason I'm smiling so you don't think I'm too much of a sicko is that story of the fellow that who's got the world record for being struck by lightning the most. If you read that story, it really is sad, but it's just like a cartoon. Because there's one episode where he's running. He sees a lightning cloud coming, and he's been struck so many times he's running to get in the house. The cloud zaps him. And I mean, it's like a cartoon. The cloud chases him down. Sorry, my sick sense of humor, but I had to explain why I talked about lightning zapping people. I started laughing. Joyce. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We're talking about rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I said rejoice. Matthew 18, starting at verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which has gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than the 99 which went not astray. There's rejoicing over people coming to God. Let me give you some other examples of rejoicing. I'll just read this in Luke chapter 1, verse 57 and 58. You see, you rejoice over what God's doing in others' lives. Now, when Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard of how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. You rejoice for what God is doing in other people's lives. You rejoice about the eternal rewards. In John 4:36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, or unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. may rejoice together. You rejoiced, I mentioned this earlier, that your name is written in heaven, in Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding that in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Let me give you a couple more things, and I'll give you a couple points about it, and then we'll be done. The Bible said Jesus had joy over the Father's will being done in Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Jesus rejoiced that the Father's will was done. People rejoiced in the works of God in Luke 13:17. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced all for all the glorious things that were done by him. You see community rejoicing when you see the, let me give you just a couple. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. It talks about community rejoicing. In John 14:28 gives a parable. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. They rejoiced together for Jesus. In Luke 15:9. And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. You see this section we have community rejoicing. Let me give you a couple quick points about rejoicing, and then we'll call it a night. One, you get joy from yielding to the Spirit of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Is anybody hot? Check on the temperature. Anybody hot in here? Anybody cold? Wow, I got a lukewarm church tonight. That's good. We got it. We got it. There we go. Luke. Where is that? There we go. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, the next word, joy. Just a thought for you. If you've lost your joy, what spirit's not there? It's close, it says, isn't it? That'd be peace also. It's God's Holy Spirit that has joy and peace. It says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The word joy is a calm wellness and gladness. It comes from that which is eternal. By the way, no matter what happens in America right now, no matter what happens around the world with all the coronavirus, heaven's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's. Sing it with me. Everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy, joy. One more time. Ready? Sing it louder. Ready? Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy, joy. It really doesn't matter. In eternity, God's got it all under control. God's in charge. God's, nothing surprises him. And everything's fine. And by the way, we're not a citizen of this country. Our citizenship is in our Father's house. It's in heaven. And God takes care of his children. I was just calling my daughter in the Philippines, and I was like, are you okay? You know, do you want to come? I don't want to come home. Why would I want to come home? Like, there's a pandemic going on. Why would I be better at home? Can't you be scared and need me or something like that? But there's something different that she has that a lot of people there don't have. What? She's not from that country. She's got a father who's watching out. If she needs some money, he's going to find a way to get it to her. And you say, well, what if you can't send it over the internet? I'm going to tie it to one of my boys and send him swimming, you know, across the ocean, and hang a Twinkie out in front of him and let him just swim toward it, you know. And but they're all getting these mind pictures. But it's different for her because we're making sure she's okay. We're checking up on her. She's a citizen of a different country, and it's a different place. Remember that you get your joy from yielding to the Holy Spirit. Second, rejoice is refocusing on the eternal things that give you that calm, wellness, and gladness. We read this in Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather that rather because your name are written in heaven. Now, that idea of rejoicing. No matter what happens around you, focus on the eternal. Focus on what's eternal. Everything's fine. Everything's fine because God's in charge. Rejoicing is refocusing on that which is eternal. It's kind of funny. I just haven't listened to news forever. And when everybody's coming in, like, coronavirus. Well, what is that? Well, it's like the flu. Okay, well, what happens? Well, it kills people who are in bad health. I'm like, well, that's what the flu does. I mean, I didn't know. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to downplay it. I just hadn't heard the news. And they're going, well, this is a different strain. Okay, what strain is it? It's number 19. That means we've had 18 different strains. What's going on? Well, this one kills people. Did the other ones kill people? Well, yeah, but it just kills more people. I'm like, okay, well, how many more? Well, unhealthy people. Didn't the other ones kill unhealthy people? And now, don't get me wrong. I wasn't being sarcastic. I just didn't hear why everybody was so hyped up. Well, you know, I better. I ended several weeks or quite a bit of time into this, and I finally said, well, turn on the radio. I hadn't listened to the news on the radio for a long time. Turn on the news. And before I got home, I was like, oh, how are we even alive? I mean, there's a coronavirus. You know, it's like I'm knocking on the door. You know, the only thing that stops coronavirus is hold your toilet paper up. And if you don't have toilet paper, it's going to get you. I was at the bank today, and a lady in the drive-thru said something. The lady announced the whole bank. It was so funny. She said, you ought to offer a free roll of toilet paper if everybody opens a new account. And I'm like, we're going to have toilet paper Sunday. You know, come to church. The first 49 people that come to church get a roll of toilet paper, you know. And, and the worst part is it might work, you know. It's on the internet. Yeah, the first 49 come in today, and yeah. So I'm gonna get sued if we don't do it now. So understand that after I listened to the news, I got hyped up, and I had to rejoy. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy. Just had to rejoy. We're fine. What if we die? Then I'm going to be in my Father's house. What do they have in heaven? Toilet paper. That's the... I know I may not be in the Bible. I'm just making some assumptions, but so refocusing and last but not least, remember this: rejoicing is a mindset or a way of thinking. You decide on it. You get to decide to rejoice. It's not something that happens to you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice evermore." He tells you to do it. You can do it. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's a command. That's a command of God. You're supposed to rejoice. You're supposed to rejoice because you're focused on the eternal. Don't let yourself get focused on the... I mean, the Bible says be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and, you know, take care of your family, and don't, you know, stock up on whatever you have to stock up on, and be wise how you take care of things. And when everybody's panicked, you know, use your heads. And I'm not telling you to be cavalier or anything like that. I'm just saying that don't be worried. Just remind yourself that everything's all right in your Father's house. And you're going to be fine. And God's going to take care of it. And the worst thing that happens is you get to heaven. It's going to be fine. So...